Blog Talk Radio.
If you have patience with me for about a month, I will have you so smart. Yes, I will have you so smart that you can tie them around your fingers.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, Nothing But Elijah. I am your host, Sister Akilah Ali, and I'm so pleased to be able to bring you Nothing But Elijah. It's been a wonderful journey this week in listening to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and I have to say that none of this would be possible if it were not for the organization of CRO, the Coalition of the Remembrance of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in the National Archives of the Nation of Islam. To learn more about CRO, please visit us at CROE.org. And that great organization is the reason why I am able to bring you this wonderful audio of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And as I was stating, I so enjoy listening to the audio during the week as I'm trying to prepare what I would like to share for today. It's so much information. I'm just so blessed to be a member of the archive, to have access to this wonderful information. I was so fired up by an article that Sister Kim Muhammad had sent to me from September 1975. It was the Muhammad Speaks newspaper under the leadership of, at that time, Wallace Muhammad. And the article that was sent was speaking about the changing of Ramadan. And in that particular article, Wallace Muhammad was explaining the meaning of Ramadan from his perspective and the change to observe Ramadan with, as they would refer to it, as the Muslim countries. And I just thought it was such a wonderful article. It kind of influenced what I wanted to play today. I thought about going with something from Wallace, but I thought I would hold off on that. And I was listening to an interview that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad conducted with the producer of The Hate That Hate Produced, Louis Lomax. And I just thought that that particular conversation would be interesting to play today for the individuals to hear, because, you know, I'm always inspired as well to play something that reminds me of our late great business manager, Brother Munir Muhammad. And I always remember his fierce defense of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, especially as it related to one of his students, the student that will be referred to in this audio. And for those of you who are familiar with The Hate That Hate Produced, you are well aware of who that student is. So without further ado, I will go ahead and let you listen to the last messenger of Allah, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Thank you, God. I'm going at it honestly. I'm not fooled by it. You read Alex Haley's biography. I'm not fooled by that one.
Okay.
As you know, there are a lot of things I know that ain't there, right? And you know I know them, don't you?
Well,
sir,
I, one
you
thing
know
I, wanna,
I know them because I was there.
Say, I want to say this. That brother.
Yeah, I know. You know I was there. And I don't have to explain it. You know, and I know.
If you were working for me, you wouldn't worry for nothing.
You know, and that's something that things just
you know?
Ain't so. And
you,
I know it.
Yeah, well, you know. They are these things, not if not money you want, look at Howard. Look the penny you in. That's an old man, and he just.
Who's that?
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. What's his name, Mom?
Howard.
What's
his
name? Howard's first name? Huh?
Charles.
Charles. Charles.
What did you say the number was?
Well, he is working for our country. I doubled Howard's
BR6930.
BR6930.
01. Yeah, I read that thing. I put it down. I woke up the next morning and I read it again. It's another thing. Now, there's some things that I was in on that I helped put together with these hands, and I just know this just ain't so. Just ain't so. And
Malcolm could have been made where he was. He was going to the stars. If he had not been so silly to start thinking that he could deprive me of the honor of my divine mission. If he had not have been so foolish to think so, and then set out to try and do so to put himself in my place. He wanted the people, after he had made a few lectures around colleges, university, to spoil Malcolm. Malcolm never was anything. And this, you know, upshoot to the moon all of a sudden, he forgot that the sun was shining. He's thinking the moon had it. And the moon was only just reflecting a light from the sun. And this spoiled the young fellow. And he just hurt himself. I said, nah, here goes another good labor. Would have been a good labor. I had lost some before that. For him now. Get envious, jealous, proud over a few paws from people and thinking, now I can do this.
You know, I'm going to say this in the picture.
Pardon me?
I'm going to say this.
Okay.
I mean, not quoting you saying it,
oh.
But from what I know that was going on in Malcolm's head, because I talked to him during the whole crisis period. I was the last person he talked to before he got on the plane. Remember when he came out here on the chickens coming home to roost? You remember?
Yeah,
that?
Yeah.
And I talked to Malcolm. And the other people came to talk to him.
What was it in your book? Yeah. The word is given.
In fact, the word, it was swirling around that he was going to break with the messenger, and I just didn't believe he was that stupid, although every evidence was in front of me. It's one of the few times in my life I ever looked at evidence, and because I didn't believe a man was this stupid, I went wrong. If you notice in the tail end of the book, I said he will never break from the messenger. I didn't believe he would do it. But I was wrong.
Yeah.
I was wrong because I listened
wrong.
To him.
So many were surprised.
I just didn't believe Malcolm would be that stupid. I really didn't.
But I saw Malcolm slipping about a year or two before. I said, if I can hold this man, I said, I will do good. I could discover him, just talk like him. And when he'd go to places to make public speech, I said, this young man is getting kind of proud of himself. And that if he don't be careful, he's going to lose. because that's what happened. I said, no, by help, by the power of God, brought him out of the prison and out of the slums and drug addicts or for addictions or for addictions, pardon me, of Harlem. And this man is looked like he is bound to lose because he is now wanting the honor of the people. I say he's just begging colleges and university staff to get a chance to say something. I say he wants big honor. I say then he wants to do something big, get his people in trouble. I said, now he go try and attack the old devil in the South. I said, oh, he don't care down there defend him. I said, there is no such time for that now. We have to wait until things are fulfilled to attack. And I said, what? I called him in. I said, what are you? Not after he started up, but before he ever did this. He was talking to me about it. He wanted to start there in the Harlem.
I know he did.
And I said, brother, I said, you can't win without the God on your side. I said, he has given me the knowledge and the time. I said, I keep telling you to be patient. I said, the time will come when you won't have to lose no blood. I said, the Dallas people lost too much blood here for 400 years. I said, what do we want now to go around draining their life blood out at the hand of this devil before this power is broken? So, he said, that's right. Apostle, that's right. I know you know what to tell me. I'm going to do what you said. Then when he leave me, then he didn't do it. Well, now, this making fun of the president, you know I didn't care nothing about him. He went up there and spit in his face where that concerned. But the thing of it is this. He and I both was a public servant. All right. To be so dumb to get out and laugh, make fun of the death of a public servant, even though he is your enemy. You're not supposed to disgrace your own intelligence like that, and you out here in the public do. I told him, I said, you shouldn't have said a thing like that. I said, the devil will make it hard for our followers there in jail. Go around and beat the heads, the believers that's now in jail, saying, oh, you so and so and so. You're laughing, you lead the teachers out there laughing, jolly old president getting killed. I said, they suffer at the hands of the guards in prison. I said, you're hating your own followers. And I said, you shouldn't do this. So he had promised me he was not going to do so. But as the Time reporters mentioned, after he began to get flawed, he was just about ready to dismiss me. He hadn't said these things. But as soon as they went to appoint him, then he went to the extreme, referring to the death of the president as something for a mockery. Well, in fact, nobody, he was the president of all those under the flag. And you should show respect. He would not have did that for us. Probably he would have said, well, Elijah did a good job trying to reform his people while he was living. If he had lived, I believe that would be said by many whites. I believe he would have did a better job than any Negro reformer. Okay, that's the man dead then. They said some things good about us now undercover, but they don't want the public to know it because they don't want to be no help in resurrecting the Negro. Because the quicker he is resurrected, that's bad doom.
You know, this final word before I go. You may already know this. Sister Betty, his widow,
Yeah.
She sold the rights to Alex Haley's book and to her private papers and everything else to a man in Hollywood named Morgan Gruth. He may have gotten into trouble, but really I don't know. And through Columbia Pictures. So they hope to do something with that. In fact, they've asked James Baldwin to write it. I don't know whether Baldwin will or will not write it. But I do know, because I saw the contract, that they gave her a huge, well, not a huge, but for Hollywood, it's 10%, I think it is, of the profits from the film. So you probably will be hearing from them in the next few days.
Oh, yes. I have been informed about this devil document we have on the Muslim. He is going to pull it out.
Which one are you talking about? The one I'm talking about?
No.
Oh.
You see, the book must be fulfilled. That the devil spewed up a flood like water after the woman, that she may be carried away in the flood. That's propaganda, man. And you'll soon see. But he waits for us a proper time. We also have something holding back to let go when he do this. But this is only to try to deceive the people. But the woman escaped. The earth opened its mouth and swallowed the flood up. So as the earth swallows up all the water that goes up from where it comes down to her, this people here will swallow that up. This propaganda. And it won't take no effect. It still won't drown the woman. No, sir. See, all of what Malcolm said after he deviated to try to destroy me, he knew he was gone. He knew we were not going to use him anymore. So he just thought that after I now break down and asked the people to pardon me for what I have said against them. He asked pardon me from the devil that he was wrong. He felt wrong.
Sure did.
Yes, sir. Wrong in calling them devil, that they just the goodest anybody, you know.
Ooh.
And that the God have lied on you all. That's what he was saying. You all not devils. No. And he telling us, well, he called what call the true teaching a tuxedo religion, and he made one, and he says, come on in my place here with your cigarettes on you and with your liquor on your breath, and smoke all you want to, and whatever you have on you keep it on, nobody gonna search you here. He thought he'd get a lot of followers like that. Okay. There'll come a fella in with a sawed-off shotgun sitting up laying across his lap, waiting until he rise up to speak. That's what he got. The God had taught me, and Malcolm had asked me to put a stop to searching people, especially people he believed were so quick. The intellectual group. I said, I will not search these type of people if I know them and others know them. I said, they're not going to disgrace themselves in no such act, such as doctors, educators. I said, they're not going to cut no such a fool as that. I said, that just don't happen by them. I said, but let me know who they are. And so in Philadelphia, when I made there, he had a group, and I didn't know who this group was. I said, who are they? He said, are they all? They're all very intelligent people. Very intelligent. I said, well, who are they? Some of them were devils too. I said, no, man, I said, God told you to search them. I said, we search our own sin. I said, God knows that they would plan to kill me, and I would be foolish now to come out here. And so, God, I don't think they're going to do anything. I'll let them come on in. I said, I'll be a dead man. And he warned me there. Well, he said, no. I'll tell my brothers now. They know it. And if anything happened to him, I'm going to hold you responsible. Well, one of my brothers, he flew around and got killed.
Mm-hmm.
He got thrown on his face. My own brother's son. And he just do this himself. A lot of people think I ordered Malcolm death. I was keeping Malcolm alive. To tell you the truth about it, I wouldn't let none of my followers kill him. I was trying my best to keep them, keep their hands off him all the time. I never did tell one that he should kill Malcolm. I wanted Malcolm to come to just what he come to. Let the people see who Malcolm is. And let him be gotten by God. Let God point someone. I don't want to point nobody to kill me. He didn't send me to kill these people. And I told my own sons. Yes, and my followers, they numb too, and all of them will tell you the same thing. See, he didn't send me to kill these silly people. He sent me to try and save them. I said, the devil killing them. I said, Malcolm, talk all you want to. I said, you won't hurt nobody but himself. And that's all we heard. All of his slander, like a pail of water from upstairs falling on a man's head downstairs. It didn't hurt me, it hurt him. He didn't take away my followers. My followers still, they increased. I have more followers now than I ever had before Malcolm. They started increasing right after that.
That's right.
Yeah. So, Malcolm just hurt himself. He didn't hurt me.
All right, so I should be ready for the first draft of this thing in the next 3 or 4 weeks.
I sound like you just were listening to a conversation that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad was having with one of the producers from the Hate produced that documentary that pretty much introduced the masses to the student minister, national representative at that time, and put together the narrative that many still live by today as it relates to Muslim followers in the Nation of Islam and that whole hate teaching that has been labeled against us. But I thought it was important, especially in light of the recent news and just because I'm a member of the archives and I have access to these special history type of audios. I thought that it would be important to let the audience hear the messenger himself say that he wanted to keep that person alive so you could see who he is. And that takes me back to what I touched on in the opening, when I stated that I was sent an article from September 1975 from Muhammad Speaks. And that was Wallace Muhammad at that particular time changing the observance of Ramadan to be in line with the Orthodox world. And I was so moved by that because those of us who strictly adhere to following the way that the messenger prescribed for us to follow, we are embarking upon Ramadan now. December 1st will be when those of us who strictly follow the observance as instructed by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad will be observing Ramadan. And every year around this time, I am so grateful for the designation of Ramadan for us in the month of December, because it fits those of us here in the wilderness in North America that partake in a lot of the things, the activities that go on in the month of December as it relates to the way that we once believed, when we didn't know any better, when we thought that we were Christians and we do things that are against even what the Christians profess to believe. If they were to really get into the Word and understand what is being instructed in that Bible. But we also understand that they defer to learn to appreciate the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and accept him to be able to understand the Bible, because he is that little lamb that was written about that would break the seals. He is the one that opens up those parables and those stories and make them come alive where that you can have an understanding of those things that are actually stories about you and I. And we hear our brothers and sisters speak about coming into a greater understanding, but I humbly submit that nothing can surpass the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. If you believe that he met with God, who came in the person of Master Farah Muhammad, to whom all praise is due forever, and that he is indeed the last and greatest messenger of Allah, how can you grow beyond the teachings of Almighty God Allah and decide that in that growth that it would be best for you to do something aside from that which was instructed to you from that messenger of God? So whether you choose to observe Ramadan during the month of December, or if you choose to follow the way of, from my understanding, what Wallace put in place, September 1975, very shortly after the departure of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and before, of course, the normal observance that was put in place by the last messenger of Allah in the month of December, changing the direction of the teachings. It's very evident. I thank my sister for sending me that article, and I will more than likely go into it further next Sunday as part of our audio next week, which will be warning to the Orthodox Muslim. This is just to make sure that the followers of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad are unified in our belief that we are doing what we were instructed to do with our observance of Ramadan, and to be strong and to continue to stand firm on the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Again, thank you for joining me with Blog Talk this week. I look forward to bringing more audio to you in the coming week. And again, this has been brought to you by CRO, the Coalition for the Remembrance of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. To learn more, please visit us at www.croe.org. Thank you so much for listening. As I greet you with peace, assalamu alaikum.
If you have patience with me for about a month, I will have you so smart Yes, I will have you so smart that you can time around your fingers.